the south grounds of the White House unless they are accompanied by a child. And that age-old racket which has been going on almost since the inception of egg rolling in Washington, and that's for nearly 100 years, has been worked again today. Those youngsters who come through the gates with an adult for a price, it's usually a quarter, and then scoot back out, and in a moment they're coming through again. And some of them are able to work it several times before the guards recognize them and stop them. In spite of its being the day after Easter, where the usual amount of new clothes that go along with Easter, we see that the winter hats predominate. That is for both the men and the women. The men are wearing dark hats, and the women, many of them, are still wearing their winter hats. It's been chilly here in Washington, and I suppose that has delayed a little bit the bringing out of the Easter finery. We told you that this was a century-old custom. It did. It originated on Capitol Hill nearly 100 years ago when a colony of Scotch residents came out there, and they rolled not eggs, but oatmeal cookies. And after a good many years of cookie rolling and egg rolling on the Capitol grounds, the scene of activities was shifted to the south grounds of the White House during the Grant administration, I believe. Quite a number of these youngsters who are packed in so close to us down in front of the portico, unable to see what's going on, have borrowed their mother's mirrors. And they're holding them up and standing with their backs to the portico here. And you can see them flashing in the sunlight. And they're going to use those mirrors to get a real glimpse of the president when he comes. Now, for just a minute, I'm going to quit talking and hold this microphone up and see if you can't hear some of this murmur that's going up from this great assembly of egg rollers. Well, there it is, and it's not awfully loud at the moment, but just as soon as the president puts in an appearance, we know that you're going to hear a great deal more. For now, for just a moment, we're going to switch you down and let Ted Kimball introduce some of these people who've been standing for hours, some of them along the rope here at the foot of the South Portico. Okay, Ted.
Well, here we are down on the sidewalk now, and I'm going to ask, here's a young fellow here. Would you tell me your name?
Chas Cook.
And how long have you been standing here waiting to see the president?
About 3 hours.
About 3 hours. That is since about 12 o'clock. And, madam, would you mind telling me your name?
Ann Morris.
Ann Morris. And how long have you been standing here?
Since 11 o'clock.
Since 11 o'clock. Now, let me see. Here are... how long have you been waiting here?
Since, I've been here since...
Since 10 o'clock this morning. Well, now, my goodness. Let's see if we can't find someone who's been here since... Would you tell me your name? What's your name? And how long have you been standing here in line? Since 9 this morning?
Yeah.
My goodness gracious. Now, that's what I call enthusiasm. Now, here's a little girl with lots of freckles and blue eyes and a pretty pink ribbon on her hair. Would you mind telling me your name?
Joshua Ann Thompson.
And how old are you, Jay?
6.
And how long have you been here?
I don't know.
You don't know? You come pretty early this morning? Well, Jay doesn't seem to want to say very much. Now, if I can, well, I'm going to interview someone here.
No, not me.
Wouldn't you like
you
to...
You talk to the lady. No, I can't.
All right, sir. I wanted to get an opinion of one of these White House policemen here, how long he'd been standing here, but he refuses to talk. Here's a little girl here with a pretty green sweater on, a blue dress, and lots of freckles on her face. Would you mind telling me your name?
Marcia Zach.
Marcia Zach, is that it? And how long have you been waiting here?
Since 8:30.
Since 8:30 this morning. Oh, well, I think we'll have to give you a great big chocolate Easter egg as the prize. Well, I see some Girl Scouts over here. Here are two right here. Would you mind telling me your name?
Ella
Freckle Girls. And your name?
Carolyn Hughes.
And how long have you been here?
Since 9 o'clock.
Since 9 o'clock. Now, just why are you girls here in the grounds? What is your duty?
To look for lost children.
Yeah, have you had many lost children today? How many do you think you've had?
Oh, about 5.
About 5. Did you find their mothers or fathers?
Yes.
All of them. Have you had any sick kitties today?
No.
No? I see. I think if I remember last year, we had, there were about 18 little boys and girls who suffered from overindulgence of too many Easter eggs and too much candy and things.
Sure.
But haven't had any this year.
No.
Well, what do you know about that? That's quite a record, I'd say. Now, here's a very, very charming young miss. She's got great big blue eyes, and she has on a maroon-colored dress with blue buttons and curly hair. Would you tell me your name?
This is
What's your...
My princess dress.
Oh, that's your princess dress. Well, what's your name?
Beatrice.
Beatrice. And how old are you, Beatrice?
3.
You're 3 years old. Well, have you been having lots of fun with your Easter eggs rolling down here? Did you bring any Easter eggs with you?
I haven't.
You didn't have any? Well, have you been watching the boys and girls roll the Easter eggs?
This is my tail.
That's Martha, are you her sister? How old are you?
7.
You're 7. Did you bring Easter eggs with you to roll, or did you just come down to see the president? Just came down to see the president. Well, that's fine. Girlie's been here a long time. Yes?
I take it away now. Thanks very much. We're back on the portico. And Mr. Muir, the chief usher of the White House, came out just a moment ago and told us that the president was on his way. And now they're opening the door, and we believe that he's going to come out in full view of this crowd in just a few moments. And then we're going to hold our microphone up so that you can hear the greetings of these thousands upon thousands when they first get their glimpse of the President of the United States. They've closed the door again. I hope that doesn't mean that he's going to be very much longer. Now in the background, the United States Marine Band, nearly a block away as we see them from here down in the center of the South Grounds. We can hear just a little bit of their music in the background as they begin their half-hour concert, an annual affair on Easter Monday from the White House grounds. In the camera stand alongside of the bandstand, quite a number of cameramen waiting to get their shot of this presidential appearance this afternoon. The crowd is beginning to sense that the president is coming out in a few moments, and there's a slight ripple of applause. Balloons, balloons, balloons. Great many of them in all colors being waved by these children. They're carrying their bags of Easter eggs, all sizes of bags and all sizes of eggs. All of the newspaper men now who cover the White House, the White House correspondents for the newspapers throughout the country and the press associations have come over from the press room and the executive office, and they're lined up here on the steps leading up to the South Portico. Now the president, both doors are thrown open. Mr. Muir, the chief usher of the White House, comes through, and just coming from the Red Room onto the South Portico, the President of the United States, dressed in business suit, a blue double-breasted suit, and a new spring gray hat. Following the President, Mrs. Roosevelt. President now in full view of the crowd. Let's listen to it. Now the president.
I think that this is the record crowd through all the years. I'm told more than 42,000 children and a few grown-ups have passed through the gates already. And I suppose by sundown it'll be past 50,000. I wish very much that I could be out there rolling eggs with all of you this afternoon. But I had to have a substitute. I had my eggs for breakfast.
It's a grand crowd. Ever see some money?
And there you've heard the President of the United States greeting the thousands upon thousands who have assembled here in the South Grounds of the White House. And his greeting in answer to theirs. You heard the tremendous applause that went up when the President first came into view and stood by the railing here on the South Portico, as he addressed this tremendous throng of people. The president now with Mrs. Roosevelt. He turned for a final goodbye to the crowd, and the burst of applause that followed almost told you just exactly what he'd done. Now the president with Mrs. Roosevelt is going back into the White House. We have brought you once more the annual greeting of the president to the egg rollers on the south grounds of the White House, the fifth time that he has performed this little ceremony since he has been president of the United States. This broadcast came to you direct from the White House in Washington, a Blue Network program of the National Broadcasting Company. Hello, Claudine McDonald.
Hello, Howard Penny. I was afraid I might lose you here in Grand Central Palace, or you'd get lost.
I didn't feel lost among these ladies. There's lots of men here to keep me company, looking at all the exhibits of the 16th Annual National Exhibit of Women's Arts and Industries. But you know you made me a promise? What about this business of the best way to a man's heart?
All right, now come right along with me. Come over this way, will you?
Well, that sounds like an egg beater.
Well, of course it is an egg beater, Howard. Take a good look around you.
This is a real kitchen. Two kitchens. That's a grand-looking stove.
Oh, now, Howard, after all, that's just like a man. Suppose there'd been a cake in that oven. Well, there was one earlier this evening. It was right here that the six women who were winners in the second annual Women's National Championship Contest cooked their dinners. And we're going to meet them. That is, the women, of course. The judges ate the dinners.
Well, how are these six ladies chosen, the ones to come to New York and compete for the grand prize?
Well, it all began months ago. Any woman over 16 years old could enter the contest. 12,000 in all parts of the country did. They submitted menus for a four-course dinner with their recipes. And in order to have women in all parts of the country on an equal footing, canned foods were the basis for some of the courses. A California woman, you know, might have difficulty in finding the raw foods that she was accustomed to in New York City. Well, the judges went through those 12,000 menus, and they chose the six that they felt were the best. And then the lucky ladies who submitted those menus were brought to New York City to the Women's National Exhibition of Arts and Industries, and those six women cooked their dinners right here, where hundreds and hundreds of people could see them do it. Monday evening, Mrs. R. L. Maxey of Valeska, Iowa, and Miss Evelyn Mischke of Los Angeles, California, were the, well, shall we call them, rivals at the range. And last night, Mrs. Helen P. Angel of Columbus, Ohio, and Mrs. Percy Fink of Arlington, Virginia, cooked their dinners. And tonight, it was Mrs. George Lehman of Yonkers, New York, and Mrs. W.J. O'Brien of Center Sandwich, New Hampshire. And tonight, when the judges, there were six famous home economics experts, and Florence Brobeck, who managed the whole contest, well, when they finished the last bite of the last dinner, and don't you wish they'd left a crumb for us, Howard Blaney, I do. Well, at any rate, the judges picked America's 1937 culinary champion. And we're here to see the prizes awarded by Isabel Ely Lord, the chairman of the judges. And here's Miss Lord now.
It is a great pleasure to award the prizes on the unanimous decision of the judges. The first prize of $500 goes to Mrs. Angel of Columbus, Ohio. The second prize of $250 goes to Mrs. O'Brien of Center Sandwich, New Hampshire. The third prize of $200 goes to Miss Evelyn Mischke of Los Angeles, California. The fourth prize of $150 goes to Mrs. Lehman of Yonkers, New York. The fifth prize of $100 goes to Mrs. Maxey of Valeska, Iowa. And the sixth prize of $100, the sixth prize of $100 goes to Mrs. Finks of Arlington, Virginia.
Well, I wish very much that we could have all of these ladies meet you, the six ladies, but we haven't time for that. But Mrs. Angel, I'm so glad that you've sat right down here across from me now. Mrs. Helen T. Angel is from Columbus, Ohio, and she won the first prize in this contest. And Mrs. Angel, won't you tell us how you happened to enter the contest?
Because I was interested in planning menus and have always been interested in food, and I came across this contest offer.
You decided to go into it. I see. Well, you really do like to cook, then.
Very much.
You didn't just go into the contest because you thought you might win the prize.
Oh, no.
Well, tell me about this. You're going to be in New York all this week, and I'd like to know who's cooking for your husband while you're away.
My husband is in New York with me.
Well, that's one way to handle it. And did he get any of the prize meal that you cooked?
No, I don't believe so.
Oh, the judges ate it all. Well, I think probably Mr. Angel feels just the way Howard Claney and I do. He kind of like a bit of that prize meal. Is it your first trip to New York?
No.
Oh, then you really know it. You've looked us over beforehand. Tell me this. How did it seem to you when you got into this kitchen, this very up-to-date kitchen here, and found all these people sitting around out here watching you cook? What did you do? How'd you feel?
Well, I just cooked as though I were in my own kitchen and paid no attention to what was going on in the audience.
Well, it's a kitchen that you weren't familiar with. Did you have any difficulty in locating the various ingredients?
Well, my helper was very kind in looking up all the utensils for me.
Yes, I think we really should say that each one of the ladies in the contest had a helper. And I happened to be here watching Mrs. Angel when she was cooking the other evening and saw her turning to this helper and this woman bringing her some of the materials. And, of course, that really did help. Well, now tell me just a little bit about it. Did you begin to cook when you were very young?
Well, yes. My mother taught me to cook when I was quite young.
Yes, well, now your home is Columbus, Ohio. Have you lived in a city all your life?
Practically all my life, mm-hmm. Yes.
And I heard something about your having had some home economics training.
I graduated from Ohio State University in home economics with a Bachelor of Science.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you really should be a good cook. I think you're the only one of the six ladies, aren't you, who had had a home economics background?
I think so.
And, well, now, are you going to tell me this? I think it's rather a, maybe impertinent for me to ask you this question, but what are you going to do with this prize money?
Well, I think I shall save it.
Well, I'd like to ask you one more question. After you got out of your training in home economics, what did you decide to do? Did you use it professionally before you were married?
Yes, I did. I was a dietitian in the faculty club on the Ohio State University campus.
Oh, you were? Well, how did you, you went right out of college on that. Did you do cooking or originate some of the menus?
Well, I was the assistant dietitian and planned the menus and did the buying.
Mm-hmm. And tell me this, have you any favorite food that you like to cook?
Well, I don't think any in particular.
Oh, you just all around cooking and you think it's lots of fun. Well, another thing, you say you enjoy cooking. Is it just because you feel that cooking is an art and it's a form of self-expression? Or do you like to have your husband and your family tell you that they really like your cooking?
Well, I like to cook, and of course I like to have my family pleased.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I have a confession to make. I really knew that your husband was here. I saw him because he was hovering around the edges last evening and looking very much interested in everything that was going on, and I must say, very well fed. Thank you so much, Mrs. Angel. It's been awfully nice to have you here. And now I'm going to ask the second prize winner if she'd mind coming up here and saying just a word or two. Mrs. O'Brien, won't you? She's from Center Sandwich, New Hampshire.
Excuse me, sir.
Hmm? What did I say? I think Mrs. O'Brien just started to say to me that I didn't say I was going to call her up here. You don't mind very much, do you?
No.
Not at all. Well, now, if you'd talk just a tiny bit louder, Mrs. O'Brien, I think we could all hear just a little bit better. And your home is Center Sandwich, New Hampshire.
Yes.
And do you mind telling us just where that is? It's about 10 miles north of Lake Winnipesaukee, 15 miles from a railroad. And is it a town of a large town?
About 700 inhabitants.
And, well, you haven't lived there all your life, have you?
12 years.
12 years. And where did you live before that?
Providence, Rhode Island.
In Providence, Rhode Island. And have you a family?
I have. I have a son and a daughter.
Mm-hmm. And didn't I hear something about there being some other children in the family?
Yes, I'm mothering 6 other children.
Well, do tell us about that, won't you?
Well, their children range from 7 years to 17. And they are children who do not have parents, and so I'm trying to do what I can for them.
Well, I think that's marvelous. Are they children that are homeless and are really wards of the state?
Some of them are.
Mm-hmm.
There's one boy who is not. He's going to high school in our town and boarding with me, but he has neither father or mother.
Well, I think that's quite remarkable that you can do that. And how did you find making a change from Providence, Rhode Island, and going up into the country? Did it mean quite a change in your cooking?
Well, I cooked on a gas range previously, and I have had to use a wood range, but I really like it.
You like it very much? Well, of course, that seems very much like the country, because having been on a farm a good deal, I know that the wood fire smell is pretty good, and I've seen the ovens good and hot. And, well, how did it seem when you came down here? You said you'd been cooking on a gas range, and then up there for 12 years cooking on wood. And, of course, down here you were cooking with gas again. Did it seem strange to you?
Well, not exactly. The stoves are so perfect, and you have your heat regulators, and so I felt quite confident that they would be the correct heat, as
mm-hmm.
indicated.
Well, how did you feel about cooking before all these people? I'd feel very nervous about getting out here, although I really do like to cook.
Well, I didn't look at the audience at all, and so I felt quite at ease.
Well, tell me this. I asked Mrs. Angel whether she had any favorite foods that she liked to cook, and have you?
Well, we like baked beans cooked on a wood or in a wood range pretty
well.
Well,
who does?
That is my family.
Of course, that's fine. Well, I see here that someone told me the fact that you are not only interested in cooking, but you do a lot with arts and crafts. Is that true?
Well, our town has built up a name for itself. The New Hampshire League of Arts and Crafts was organized in our town.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very proud of the fact. There are now 23 shops in the state of New Hampshire.
Well, I should think you would be. And what do I hear about all the maple sugar that's coming down to New Hampshire? Do you have any pet recipes on that or ways to handle it?
Well, we usually use our syrup on hot cakes.
Oh, dear, you make me hungry. Well, it's been so delightful to be here this evening and hear you all talk about the cooking and feel that I were really a part of it. And thank you so much. And, you know, I've been watching Howard Claney over there, and he has a very lean and a very hungry look. And I think hearing all about this cooking has been almost too much for him. Howard, do you think it would help any if I let you read Mrs. Helen P. Angel's prize-winning recipe?
I don't think it would help. It'll make me awfully hungry.
Well, now read very carefully, will you? Because after all, I know men don't handle menus very often unless they're professional cooks. And of course, you're not. That's not your hobby. But take it slowly so everybody can know exactly what it is, will you?
I certainly will. Well, here we are. Crisp celery hearts. Ripe olives. Whole shrimp dipped in mayonnaise on toast rounds. Barbecued young chicken, brown cauliflower with cheese, Hubbard squash, buttered peas, pineapple, grapefruit, apricot salad, French dressing, icebox whole wheat rolls, gooseberry and currant tart with whipped cream. Oh, dear.
Oh, well, I feel just exactly the same way.
Well, I'm hungrier than ever after reading that menu. Come on, Claudine McDonald. I know where there's a restaurant open on 42nd Street where we can get some scrambled eggs.
Oh, scrambled eggs after all of this. Well, I'm going to be just like a woman. I want the last word. I want to offer Howard Claney's congratulations and mine to the prize winners here. And then I'd like to say good luck to all of you women who are listening to us, who probably will enter the Women's Arts and Industries 1938 cooking contest. May we wish you the best of luck.
This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.